Hello and welcome to pod 13 of the official Palace pod. I'm Chris Grierson from Palace TV, which you can watch on YouTube, the Palace app and all the social medias. I'm recording this from the training ground out on the pitch where you can probably hear the under-23s playing Millwall in the background. Sam Woods is not playing in that, but he did make his first team debut last week against Middlesbrough, so we'll hear from him. I'll speak to Connor Wickham and Joel Ward about trees, plus all the post-match reaction from two players and two staff after the 3-1 defeat at Stamford Bridge. But first, a chat with one of my favourite journalists, chief sports writer for The Independent, Jonathan Liu. He's written some amazing articles this year. Check out his post-match report of the England-Columbia World Cup game, his piece on the Baseball World Series, and 20 years of Britney Spears. I caught up with him in the press box at Stamford Bridge. Welcome to Stamford Bridge, where I'm joined with the young rock star of journalists, Jonathan Liu. Jonathan, Palace-Chelsea today. What's an outsider's view of Crystal Palace? Because you haven't seen them play this season, so what do you know about them?
Not live. I've seen them a little bit on the telly. I think it's been a disarmingly normal season. It's been a disarmingly uneventful season so far. I think Palace fans are used to, you know, all this kind of upheaval during the summer, upheaval in the early season, but they've been ticking along quite nicely. They look very well organised. A couple of leaks at the back, but, you know, doing all right.
You're a busy man. You cover so many different sports. How do you prepare for a game like this?
I try and watch as much as I can of the teams having, you know, the last few games. I try and listen to podcasts. I try and read fanzines and message boards to see what fans are thinking. But ultimately, you can do too much preparation, I think. Sometimes you end up doing so much that you go into a game with almost a preconceived idea of what you're going to see, and that's almost the worst thing you can do as a writer. As the game unfolds in front of you, you kind of have to react to it. And as we all know, the script, you know, the games don't always follow the script, and you may have to rip up what you've written after 60 or 80 or 85 minutes and react to something new.
And it's fair to say for you, you had a great summer, journalism-wise, at the World Cup with your articles getting shared on Twitter and everyone. Did you go into them with an idea of how you were going to style the piece afterwards? Or was it the Columbia one that particularly went down well? Or did that just come to you during the match?
Well, no, I mean, England-Columbia is the perfect example, really, of just having to rip up so many different reports. I think it was after Columbia equalised in the 90th minute, I became absolutely convinced, and as extra time went on, I became absolutely convinced that England were gonna screw it up. And so you end up writing towards that, and then obviously it gets penalties, and you know, right, well, we all know how this is going to turn out. So I think you do go in with an idea of what you could write, and as the game unfolds, it leads you in that direction. But you know, you do have to be prepared. I remember I didn't file right on the whistle. And that's kind of a luxury of having a website and not having a newspaper deadline to write for. If you do want to take like 15, 20 minutes after the final whistle and just compose your thoughts and think, well, actually, what has just happened there and how do we process it? Then we have the opportunity to do that.
Have you got a favourite sport to cover?
Probably, I mean, through upbringing, probably cricket, just ahead of football, and then a big gap to the things like tennis and darts and golf and cycling and boxing and.
Gymnastics. You wrote about gymnastics.
I don't mind a bit of gymnastics. Yeah, I mean, there's something of value in every sport, and I'm not one of those people that believes that every sport is basically the same underneath. Because I think these days people have a level of knowledge and technical detail that people maybe didn't have 20 or 30 years ago before the internet. So you've got to respect the intricacies of each sport equally. So much of what we write is about the human stories. Emotions, people who devote their lives to whatever sport they've chosen to make their career in, and what happens when it goes right, what happens when it goes wrong, these are quite universal things. And so, although you do need a base level of knowledge, you need to know what they're trying to do. There is something that anybody can tap into, I think. If you see a gymnast or you know, a horse rider, and you know, or a swimmer, they've got these kind of universal emotions that anybody can access.
And finally, how did you end up writing about Britney Spears' career recently?
Well, I've read a big long read for The Independent a couple of weeks ago about 20 years since the release of Baby One More Time in the United States. It goes back to my student journalism days when you'd kind of turn your hand to everything. And I still remember a review I wrote of a greatest hits about 14, 15 years ago. The Independent asked me, like, is there anything else you want to write about? And this just sprang to mind. A bit of an indulgence, but I really enjoyed doing it.
Cool. Thanks for talking to us and enjoy the game. And looking forward to reading what you have to say afterwards.
Cheers.
Apologies if I was gushingly fanboy in that interview. And now on to a Palace fanboy, centre-back Sam Woods, who, as I said earlier, made his debut against Borough last week. We made a video on his story a couple of years ago, so here's the audio from that. It includes contributions from the now first-team coach, Dave Reddington, and Sam's under-23 teammate, Luke Dreyer. We'll also chuck in his post-match interview from the Borough game and Roy's thoughts on his debut too.
Sam Woods, Wallingham, centre-half, Palace fan.
You remember the first time you played football?
Yeah, I used to play for my dad's team. My dad used to like manage the team. It was just really good because with your dad, it's just like more personal kind of, like he taught me how to play really. And then went to Selsdon, which was like another local team. And then we won all the leagues there in the Sunday League. Palace picked me up. And then that's how I started at Palace. Yeah, so he comes to some of the matches. Just gives me like tips, and I still listen to him today because yeah, he knows like how to improve, and yeah, it's just really nice having like him watch me now, knowing he was the one that taught me back in the day. So I always thank him now, like for being here today really. Yeah, he's a Palace fan, so I'm a Palace fan, so he used to be a season ticket holder. So I remember going back to Cardiff in the playoff final at the Millennium Stadium. Yeah,
wow. Millennium Stadium. Yeah, that was a good day, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was like my first ever like football match. I can still remember, it was just so loud and just like the buzz and the excitement was just incredible really. So I used to be a centre mid, and then Redders, Dave Reddington, he put me back as a centre back, and then I've played ever since really. And he just like really helped me, because he used to be a centre back as well. So he can just give you that experience and just help me improve every day. And he always finds something to work on, so I can always constantly improve.
I'm a first come across Sam in the under 15s. Where he's playing in centre midfield. Always felt that he was probably going to move back into the back four, but we kept him midfield just to keep his feet sharp. So distribution's good. Short distribution in particular, needs to work on his range of pass as well.
And Richard Shaw as well, them as a team.
Yeah, right? So obviously I had Redders under 15s and Shaw's is in under 16s, and now they're like back as under 23s. They can probably see like where I was and improving now.
I think he needs to work on the day-to-day grind of being a footballer. It's very difficult, producing every single day, being at your maximum every single day, motivating yourself every day. And to be fair, he's not the only one. A lot of the boys can struggle with that. They like the idea, but in reality it can be really difficult. So yeah, I'd say day-to-day grind of being a footballer is what he needs to work on.
Desire.
Brave.
Aggressive tackler.
Ruthless.
Now, as a centre back, I'd say I'm more like, I'm kind of like John Terry. So, like, I'll tackle, I'll always try and like put my body on the line, to, like, stop a goal, and do anything just to keep it out, really.
Have you got any nasty blows to the face yet at all?
I think I've cut my nose before, taken it in the privates a couple of times. Just got to do what you got to do to keep it out, really. But I think now, in this modern game, you need to like be able to use your feet and play out from the back. I love watching John Stones, because he can just get it, play. And that's what I would like to do. So that's what I'm trying to work on every day.
Who were your favourite Palace players as a kid?
Julian Speroni, and now he's still here. I remember my first day walking into the training ground, just seeing him. It was just like, as a fan as well. He's been here so long now, it's just, I think he's a legend, really.
You must have played games with him now.
Yeah, so Birmingham was the first time I played with him, and it was just like a great experience having him behind.
What other players have you grown up with that you're still playing with now? Quite a few of you come through.
I went to school with Bryce, and then we both went through the whole Palace thing and school together, and then Luke I'm really close with.
We used to go to school just down the road from each other, sort of like rivalry schools, so I remember playing him in school matches as well as at Palace. So I think we met when he was probably about 11, 12. But then when he came into Palace, that's when I got to really know him, I guess. Yeah, so we've been playing together for quite a while now. I know his game inside out, really. He's really reliable. He always puts his body on the line for the team, and you always know what you're going to get from him. He's going to give the team 100%.
It must be good seeing Luke. He's involved in with the first team quite a lot.
Yeah, so when I saw him on the bench at Old Trafford for the first time, I just like, wow, it's just amazing like, what you can get to. Motivate yourself all the time just to like, when someone's like doing better, you just want to like get there, and it just pushes you and pushes you and pushes you. So I've trained with the first team quite a lot. It's good. The gaffer uses the younger players quite a lot, and it's a great experience. It teaches you what you need to have and what you need to get to that level, basically. So I always try and walk in with a smile and just, yeah, enjoy every moment.
Enthusiastic, always wanted a win, which is what we look for here. At times he finds a way of staying in the game, and character really. He's got a will to win and he's driven, so I'd say they'd be his main assets, and that's what caught my eye with him.
So the next big moment for you is end of the season, trying to get that professional contract?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I'm just working hard for it. And as long as I give my best and I couldn't have done anything more, then I'm happy really.
Fully just look at your future as being a professional footballer?
Yeah, definitely, that's what I'm working for. I'm just going to try and give it my all.
And if you did eventually play for Crystal Palace, how big a moment would that be as a fan?
I think it would just be emotional really, because as a kid, like going there every week and then stepping onto it would just be incredible really. I don't think words can't describe what it feels like.
So I'm unfortunately out of the cup this evening, but congratulations on making your Crystal Palace debut. How do you feel about that?
It's mixed emotions really. Like obviously really disappointed to be out of the cup, but then obviously very happy to make my debut, so it's a strange feeling.
And when you were charging forward at the end there, hoping to get an equaliser for yourself, you nearly got on the end of when Andrews had that shot, it nearly came back to you, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I was just trying to impact the game, trying to come on, make an impact, and had that one at the end as well from the corner. Just tried to head it across goal, but no one could get on the end of it, unfortunately. But yeah, I feel like I'd done okay when I came on.
It was quite quick when you came, because Pap went down injured. How long did you have to prepare yourself?
I mean, you prepare yourself as soon as you know you're in the squad, I think. Like, you've always got to, you can't just be on the bench just sitting there watching it. You've always got to be like involved in the game and stuff. So as soon as I realised I was in the squad, I was preparing myself to make sure I was ready at any point to come on.
And what did Roy say to you?
Just said good luck, try and impact the game, and was really assuring, and it made me feel quite calm and relaxed.
You've trained with the first team squad quite a lot recently, haven't you? Do you feel like you've developed a lot in the past year?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when you're playing with higher quality players, you obviously become a better player yourself. So I'm just trying to learn every day in training, even in, like the game today. I'm learning all the time, and that's what I'm trying to do at the moment.
And as a lifelong Crystal Palace fan, this must be a great moment for you but your family as well.
Yeah, my dad and my sister are in the stands, so it was really nice they came up to come support, and I saw them at the end. So that was a nice feeling, but obviously disappointed we got knocked out, and we just go again next game.
Yeah, and finally, just on the game today, what did you think of it from watching it on the bench and then coming on?
Very physical game. I mean, we knew that from watching Middlesbrough in the analysis, that they were going to be quite direct, physical. So that's what we prepared ourselves for that game. And I think second half, we dominated the game, just couldn't get that goal, unfortunately.
You have mixed emotions for Sam Woods today, obviously because of the defeat, but making his debut as a lifelong Crystal Palace fan, it was a good moment for him, and his family are in the stands as well.
Oh, that's great, yeah. No, he did very well too when he came on, so I'm pleased for him. I mean, obviously we were trying not to use too many of the younger players in this game because we knew it would be a tough one. We wanted to give a good account of ourselves, which we certainly did despite the defeat, but it was great to bring Sam on, especially to give him a chance to make his debut for the club. And I'm pretty sure if he continues working as hard as he's been doing and progressing as well as he's been progressing, it won't be the last time we'll see him in a Crystal Palace shirt.
We're all looking forward to seeing more of Sam in the coming months. And now for something different. As part of the National Football Museum's For Club and Country project, Roy Hodgson, Joel Ward and Connor Wickham planted 8 saplings at CPFC's training ground. The trees represent the 8 men associated with the club who served their country and died during the Great War. The idea is that the trees will grow and it will be a permanent reminder to the players and staff at Palace at the training ground every day. I spoke to Connor Wickham and Joel Ward. You may notice that I asked them both very similar questions. And this is because in the production of the video, we knew that we weren't going to use my voice. So my questions, as opposed to trying to be cleverly worded ones, are just to guide them in the right direction to say everything that we wanted said in the video. You can watch that video on our YouTube channel. Just search for CPFC.
Joel, what have you been doing this morning?
This morning we've been planting some trees in remembrance of the eight ex-players who sacrificed their lives for us and as a country as well.
Yeah, how important do you think it is for clubs to always constantly remember those who've passed?
Incredibly important. I think you know, they made a huge sacrifice for us in the past, and you know, they should always be remembered for that. It was an act of bravery on their part, and you know, it's incredible that you think we're here and we've got the life that we have because of the older generation who stepped in front and went out and done the unthinkable.
Connor, first of all, just tell us what you've been doing today.
Today we've just been planting the trees for the eight players that lost their lives in the First World War, and it's kind of just a tribute to them, to for the boys and everyone at the club, to remind us of the sacrifice they made for us.
And for you personally, obviously your dad was in the army. I guess it strikes home for you, doesn't it? It's all important to remember those that have been lost.
Yeah, it's been a massive part of my upbringing to be involved with the military stuff. And yeah, it's a charity that's close to home, so I know what it means and the importance it will have to us.
It'll be great to watch these trees grow, so it's a daily reminder.
Yeah, and not just for now, but you know, when the trees are growing up, well, not growing up, when they've grown properly and they're standing tall, then it'll be a nice reminder for what they stand for.
And now we finish with all the post-match reaction from the 3-1 defeat to Chelsea, a game that at 1-1 felt like we had a great chance of getting something from the game. Here is a downbeat James Tomkins, followed by Andros Townsend, assistant manager Ray Lewington and Roy Hodgson. Speak soon.
James, unfortunately a defeat today, but certainly gave Chelsea a good game.
Yeah, I think maybe first half we gave them a bit too much respect, and you know, without them having too many chances, they've gone in, you know, 1-0 up, and from our point of view is a bit disappointed. Second half we come out sort of a different team. You know, we had a good go for the first 20 minutes, you know, got our goal, which we deserved, and then, you know, again sat back, which is going to happen in games, but, you know, they showed their quality in the end, but, yeah, disappointing, really.
I guess for the second goal, they kind of show what happens if you give them a bit of space, they will punish you.
Yeah, no, it's a world-class finish, to be honest, but, you know, I think all round, you know, we could have dealt with it better. Set plays, we take pride on them, defensively, especially, so, you know, obviously disappointed from that point of view, yeah.
It was a great finish from Andros for our goal.
Yeah, no, it's a good assist from Maka as well. You know, played in, it was me, I think I put it into Andros, he set it back, and it was just quite a good move, really, and we wanted to have more of that, really, in the game, but it didn't quite happen. You know, we were playing at Stamford Bridge against, you know, one of the best teams in the league, so it's always going to be difficult, but, you know, we're looking at the goals, and, you know, all round we could have done better, really.
Andros, is it one of those games today where the performance was better than maybe the scoreline suggested, or the game was closer?
Yeah, feels like a lot of games this season, the performance has been better than the result deserved, but it's a tough one to take. We started well in both halves, actually. We started well in the first half, and then I think we reacted well in the second half and got the goal, and I felt like we were on the front foot. Unfortunately, we switched off at a set piece, and then chasing the game against one of the best teams in the league is always difficult, and unfortunately they got the third.
You must have been pleased with your finish on that goal. It was a great assist from Maka too.
Yeah, no, it was brilliant from Maka. I made the run, he put me clean through on goal, and yeah, I managed to tuck it away. I'm happy with that. I think I said before in the week that more players need to chip in with goals other than Wilf, and hopefully I can build on that and then score a few more goals.
You played in the week against Middlesbrough, and then you're still sprinting right around at the end. How much extra work do you put in outside of training on your fitness?
I'm naturally fit anyway. The gaffer knows me well. He knows I can play midweek and play in the week as well, in the weekend as well. So. Yeah, no, I was happy with the work rate I put in again today, and unfortunately it wasn't enough. We'll rest up, go again on Saturday, and hopefully we can get a better result.
Ray, can we just get your thoughts on the game today? It was a close game.
It was. I mean, like all of our games this year, they've been close. You know, we were well in the game. In fact, when we went 1-1, we had probably a 20-minute spell in the game where we looked slightly superior. But you have to say we're playing against a quality side, and you know, all aspects of the game from Chelsea were really good today. They closed us down. We had a really good bright start, and then they come into it and they keep the ball so well, and they've got threats from all areas of the pitch. So it's a very difficult game, but I thought we coped well and we stuck with it. But obviously that second goal killed us.
And our equaliser came from, it was a great move, a really good assist from Maka, and then Andros Townsend playing up front, a really good finish.
Yeah, fantastic. He went through, kept his head. You know, they're always far harder than they look them ones, because he had a lot of time to think about it. But he kept his head down, kept the ball low, and beat the keeper. And as I say, after that, we were really in the game, and looked lively, and looked like we might be able to add to it. But a free kick, which we felt at the time was a little bit harsh on us, we didn't deal with it, and they go 2-1 up, and you come away and you go 2-1 down. You know, you're in for a hard match.
And Spurs up next week. How different a test will they be to Chelsea?
Different style of play, but listen, they're one of the top six. You've got to respect anyone in the Premier League top six. They're all high quality teams. Although they'll give us different problems, there'll still be problems. But you know, we're encouraged by the way we're playing. Obviously, you know, we need to turn some of our pressure into goals. We're not scoring enough goals. But you know, we'll go and attack them and take the game to them. But they are a quality side. We know that. It was a close game last year. Both games were close last year. So we know that you know, if we're okay, we can give them a good game.
Roy, I've just spoken to Maurizio Sarri, and he said once Palace equalised, we were in trouble. But he had Eden Hazard on the bench, and that's a nice option to have.
Of course, but I mean, they're competing at the very, very top of the league. They're competing in Europe as well. So in actual fact, it'd be surprising, I suppose, if they didn't have players of that quality to bring on. But I was very pleased with our start to the second half. I thought we were playing well. I thought we were more than evening the game out. But the second goal, unfortunately, from the free kick, put you on the back foot again. And you know, you're playing against a team that has got a lot of confidence. They do expect to win. And unfortunately, you know, we couldn't find within us the ability to get the equalising goal again. Although I must say, I thought we gave it a good go, and I thought there were even occasions at 3-1 where we were still trying to score the second goal. So I don't think I have any reason to be that dissatisfied with the team's performance, but one's always dissatisfied when the result doesn't go your way, even though we knew coming into the game today, if we're going to get something from this game, we'd have needed something a bit special. And unfortunately, we weren't able to provide that.
I enjoyed your first half hour as well. I thought, you know, you're very solid and very well organised, very focused. But also, you had a bit of teeth there. Wilf and Andros as a two looked threatening when they could.
Yeah, I think in the first 10 minutes, we had two or three quite good chances, really. Maybe, you know, with the clinical finishing we saw from Chelsea, maybe had they created those chances, we could have found ourselves a goal down. But I thought our shape was good in the first half. I thought our organisation, the tactical awareness of the players. But of course, unfortunately, we did concede a goal, and to a team that's just won 10 on the trot or 10 unbeaten, then that means they go in at half time quite happy, irrespective of how the game's actually panned out. But I thought the players, you know, really in the second half showed a lot more aggression at the start. So I thought our first 20 minutes of the second was much better. I thought that was, you know, a good performance, that. And Julie got us an equaliser. But they scored two more, so we ended up losing the game. But I don't think we were disgraced in any way today.
No, I mean, I've seen a few of your games this season, Roy, and I always come away sort of thinking the same thing. There's been lots of positives in there, but you haven't quite got the result.
No, but it will come. We missed some chances before this run of games, and we always knew this run of games was going to ask a lot of questions of us, because, you know, when you play teams in the top four or five of the country, it's going to be difficult for you to get points, however well you're doing or whatever's happening. But I think that the season's got a lot of football left in it. There's many, many more games to play. And I'm fairly confident that with the players we have and the way we play and the performances that we've actually been given, then results will come, because if you continue to perform at the right level, the results have got to follow. They don't always necessarily follow in a particular period, because you can have you can be dogged by a little bit of bad luck or things not quite going your way, but over 38 games it will.